I feel the enemy at times trying to creep in my anger to hinder my own marriage. I feel the enemy at times causing me to be slothful, causing me to want to sit down and let somebody else have a turn. I've had the enemy tell me, oh, your throat's too raw now. It's time to hang up the psalm book. I've had the devil tell me when I'm editing the sermons that I preach here to put out on the radio, why do you even bother? You don't even know who's listening to it anyway. I have the devil creeping up on every side telling me, why do you go bother to visit people when you know that they don't care about you? I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but it's time to get out of this loneliness. It's time to get out of this depression. It's time to realize who you are in God. I'm warning somebody tonight. You cannot continue to keep drifting in the way that you are, because eventually your end, your means will be destruction, because God cannot bless someone who does not believe not only in themselves but in Him. He cannot prosper somebody that'll stand and say hallelujah on Sunday and say he can't do it on Monday. He's looking for somebody to begin to live a life of constancy. He wants you to live this every day. He didn't say you had to get up and run 100 laps to call yourself blessed when you're in the heat of the moment. He just said to walk by faith. He just wanted you to take a stand with the one thing that the enemy cannot destroy. If you're weak in body and he keeps attacking your body, don't see it as an absence of God. If anything, you need to see it as you getting closer to your blessing. Our free pardon of sin did not come until Jesus spoke and said it was finished. When he said it was finished, we then had a free pardon of sin. That moment where he gave up the ghost was the single most grueling moment of him as a man. What does that tell me about the blessings that I'm looking for? That tells me that in the single most difficult, suffering moment of my life, if I'll speak to the things that have hindered me and say that they're finished, then I will walk into a free pardon of a promise. I'm here to tell somebody right now that you've got to let those things go and say they are done. They're behind you. They're not a hindrance to you anymore, so that the free pardon of sin can come, so that the free pardon of deliverance can come and you can be free. You may not realize some of the warnings that have been spoken in the Bible. Can I read some of these to you tonight? We read Amos 8 and 11. Psalm 74, 9 says, we do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, and there is none among us who knows how long. They were worried. They were concerned. Micah 3, chapter 3, verse 6 says, therefore, it shall be night to you without vision and darkness to you without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. There were times in all of history that we read right here where God spoke and gave them a chance to turn it around. I want you to look in a single place where if it was something that God wanted to save, that he didn't give them a chance somewhere down the line where he couldn't have helped them to turn it around. There was always a prophet. There was always a warning, a word that would speak to people to give them a chance. So maybe for some of you tonight, that's your night. Maybe it's time to realize that we are no longer bound by the things that try to keep us bound. Psalm 81:8. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Let me read you another translation. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you will only listen, Israel. When I hear the word warning in the Bible, warning can also be tied into the word testimony. When he said that we were overcomers, what did he say that was by? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. A testimony is a proclamation of victory. But for those that don't know victory, it's a warning. If you ever wondered why you should testify, it's not to have the best testimony in town. It's not to whine about your problems, but it's to warn others about the very thing that you came through. If God has ever done anything for you, then you need to tell somebody else what He's done so that if they're going through that situation, that they can see hope and victory in it. I don't know if I'm talking to any addicts tonight, but one day down the road, I'm going to tell them about what God's done for me. 20 years, it's not going to get old to me, because somebody might hear it one day and it caused them to believe that there is hope for their life. I know there's people out there right now that are suffering, not because of their situation, but they're suffering because we the people, the voice of the common individual, are not being the voice of warning to those out there that are in trouble. You testify to show people a better way, even if it's to your family, to your co-workers, even to your enemies. We must learn to speak of the good things God is doing. It is not only encouragement to you, but it is a warning to them. Let's read a couple more of these, and I'm going to close tonight. I don't want to keep you. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 26 says, disaster comes upon disaster. Rumor follows rumor. They seek a vision from the prophet, while the law perishes from the priest and counsel from the elders. They're seeking a word, and nobody's there to give it because they don't even get it. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't know the way, and that's why Christ was compassionate. He didn't perform miracles to gain fame. He did good works that they would know a better way. Out of the blessing, he caused them to be compelled by him telling them about the Father, who the Father was, and what the Father could do. He talked to them not only about their present and their past, but he talked about what he would do that would cause their future to be different. And all they had to do was believe. Friends, this hasn't changed for any of us. The greatest hindrance to God is not Satan, it's unbelief. Because sometimes we have the potential to have church. And I'm not talking about church you almost brag about. I'm talking about church that you're proud of. The kind of church that'll keep people coming back. He wants us to believe. Now, if he has saved your soul, do you believe today that you're saved? If you have been filled with his Spirit, do you not believe that you are filled? And if he has not already blessed you and brought you through something, do you not also believe that he'll do it again? So if we know this, what keeps us from realizing it when it counts? That's where the enemy comes in. He doesn't want you to realize that you're able to overcome. He wants you to drift away from your progress and digress into a powerless, helpless state. And God will pick you up where you are, no matter how far you drift. But it was not his will that you drift first and then come to realization. He said he would have us to be prosperous and in good health. So every time that something comes to attack us, we've got to learn that we realize that we are healed, because he healed us then and he'll heal us now. The Lord is speaking to us tonight to tell us in this place that it's time to take heed to what we already know that we have, so that when the moment comes that you are tested, that you'll realize who you are. One of the greatest empowering encouragements that God gave when someone was needing a word to tell others around them, he said, you go tell them I am that I am. And if we only realized that very word lives in here, out of the forefathers that brought forth the gospel, it's the very same word that lives inside of you. I close with this thought tonight. There will be some of you that will be ready and will make it, because you will realize your strength. But if you do not heed when God speaks to you through his Spirit, you will not be ready. And I cannot guarantee your safety nor your sanity. I cannot protect your prosperity, nor can I rebuke enough of the enemy to keep him off of you. It is only empowered in you when you begin to believe. For who the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Heed to what God has spoke tonight. And don't take this as an attack on your life, but look at it as a better strategy to handle what the enemy would try to put on you. Because the day is going to come where the words I'm even telling you tonight, you won't remember. But there's something in here. Listen, I go to the nursing home. There's some ladies there that are singing. They don't even know their name, but they know God. They may not know their old street address. They may not even know their own son when they come in the room. But we start singing the hymnals. Buddy, they click right into gear and start singing the songs as if they had never forgot them. When everything else would forsake you, God said He would never leave you. And that's encouraging to me. Because based on where I am today, I know I might be old and senile one day down the road. But one day I'm going to know and always remember who He is in me. The sad truth of it all is this. There are people that are sitting next to us tonight that aren't going to listen and reject what God speaks, and they're not going to be ready. But even when they fall, those that are strong are to help them, to teach them to understand the error of their ways. A fool only remains a fool until he is taught. Then he is therefore no longer a fool. And if you keep in the company of fools, what do you expect to be? And I don't think of myself no fool. And I'm not getting up here and talking about no foolishness. Now I'm not up here to entertain you. I'm here to tell you the truth. The same truth that saved my soul is going to be the same truth that will keep you in this dark day. Because we already read it's going to get worse before it gets better. We will go through times where what we have earned and fought for will be destroyed. But you know what? It rains on the just and the unjust. Therefore, we cannot let pride tell us that we deserve to keep what wasn't ours even to begin with. We must learn that we are not established by what we gain, but it's Him through us that makes us who we are. I am that I am is what makes you who you are. And that I am is what helps you to realize it every single day. So don't be defined by anything else other than what you can realize that you already know. Because when tomorrow comes, I hope that this helps you. And if this is something that's bothered you tonight, pray about it. And see what part of you is against being warned from trouble. I didn't really like it at the time when they said, don't touch the iron, it's hot. I didn't feel too good when they slapped my hand away and I got my feelings hurt. But now that I've been burned a few times in my older life, I'm glad somebody said something. I'm glad that I didn't put my hands under heavy objects that could have fallen under them. Because I sure like doing this right here. And when God sends a word through somebody, through a prophet, through the word of God, through something, and it pricks your heart, then look at what He's trying to spare you from. Jesus came to spare you from your sin. He didn't come to prove anything other than to spare you from your sin, that the prophecies would be fulfilled. He came to die for you so that you'd have a better way, a better hope. When God gave this to me, it sort of scared me at first. But you know, when you reach the part of warning, you're halfway there. You can either just choose to live, or you can choose to turn it away and continue to drift. But I believe in you greater that you'll choose to do what's right. Because the God that sustains me is the same God that sustains you. We just have to realize it. And that's where faith comes in. Use the things God has blessed you with by the things that you have accepted so that when the warnings come, you will be prepared. Your house might flood. That doesn't mean you're unprepared. You might lose your finance from time to time. That doesn't mean you're unprepared. Life brings unexpected situations that are beyond even our own vision. But the peace that passeth all understanding shall keep our minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. It is what will bring us through the most difficult circumstance. I feel that prophetically. When you feel or hear the warning, you're halfway on your way to a blessing. Because a warning to someone that's feeling good in the spirit is direction. But to somebody that hears it in a prideful spirit, they take offense. And I've been offended before. I wasn't ready to hear some of the truth that God told me. I wasn't ready to hear from my own mom when I dressed up in my black clothes and long hair that I looked funny. I wasn't ready to hear the truth. I didn't want to look in the mirror one day when I was 23 and had still long hair on my back and look at myself and think, man, what am I doing? But one day you come to realize that you're better than what you have let yourself deal with for all this time. I'm better than Prozac. I don't need it. The doctor told me I did. But I refuse it because I know that greater is He. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil might tell you you deserve this, but I'm here to tell you that greater is He. I feel this very plain tonight. I don't know why, but God wants you to take heed and examine what keeps you from receiving when He would try to spare you. Because those are the things you need to battle through. I didn't arrive to where I am today overnight. There has been many things that I've had to change as a result of God's warnings, His testimonies to me. I've had a change of attitude. I've had a change of wardrobe. I've had a change of haircut. I've had a change of conversation. I've had a change of schedule and lifestyle. I've had a change of social preferences. I've had a change in what I watch, what I listen to. I've had a change in every part of my life. Because He's not going to have you live your life around things that are going to destroy you. The Spirit reveals the things that would need to go. So be careful to carry those things that would bring fire, because you might get burned. Please, I'm begging you. I know I've been preaching a lot and I've been preaching long, but my heart's concerned for you. And I'm not giving up, but I beg you with all that's in me, you go out of here tonight and heed to what God would reveal to you that needs to be different. Because the very moment you turn over that to Him, I guarantee growth in your life. It's a promise of His Word. He said, cast your cares upon Him. He said, if you would come even when you're weary, that He would give you peace and rest. Isn't that so much more valuable than going out tonight the same old way? It is to me. It is to me. It was of worth to me when I accepted Christ. I no longer worry over hell or how I'm going to die or when it's going to happen. I don't worry about those kinds of things. I don't worry over death or lack or sickness. I don't worry about when the devil's going to try something else, because I have realized who I am in God. And if I'm the only one that'll stand 50 years from now, I'm going to proclaim His name, because I want somebody to make heaven their home. That's why you're here. That's why God speaks to you to grow you up. He wants you to help somebody else find a way to Jesus Christ. He wants you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul didn't come to get a good name, because he had a bad name before he ever had a good one. But his name was established when he gave up who he was and let the Spirit teach him to become who he was then. He became a new man. He wrote of these things. He said, old things, they're gone. And behold, all things. You know what that means when it says all things are become new? New things are realized. God, I feel His anointing. The things that you didn't even think you had become realized. I didn't think that I even had love in my heart anymore. I legitimately hated everyone, and I was bitter at life and ready to die. But when Jesus changed my life, you know what happened? Love wasn't thrown down in my heart. I began to look inside and find something I didn't even think was in there. I didn't think I had forgiveness. I didn't think I could let go. But I've learned to just let Him have it. So what if they make you mad? So what if they speak ill against you? What does it compare to the peace of God? What is any debt to the prosperity of peace in your life? What is any hurt to what God can do for you? Paul put it quite frankly. He said, I count it all as dung. We know what that is. Nobody wants it. Everybody's got it. We all know where its place is. We don't want it. No part of it, not even the scent thereof, nor the sight. Have you ever walked at a dog park? I'm here to tell you that those little mounds on the ground aren't pebbles. You don't go walking in a dog park for a daily stroll unless you know to watch your step. You can't go out to life when things are unexpected unless you know the way. And Jesus is that guide for you. The devil's been on our back all night long, but I felt that move. I felt that move. God's going to help you and prosper your life. He's going to give you strength. And most of all, those that aren't here tonight need you. What do they need? They need your testimony. They need that warning. They need the truth, because that's the only thing that'll set them free.